I'm Laura Mathis, professional speaker coach. You're listening to The Business of People in Leadership with my friend, J.J. Jarrell.
Always looking for ways to move beyond your comfort zone, exceed your expectations and others, dealing with ambiguity and change, and so you're willing to take risks, put yourself out there, take initiative.
Welcome to The Business of People in Leadership podcast with your host, Jonathan J.J. Jarrell. This is the podcast for relevant leaders. And now, your host, JJ.
Hey, Joel, thanks so much for having a conversation with me today.
JJ, I'm looking forward to speaking with you about executive presence.
I wanted to get started. If you would, just tell us a little bit about you, what you do, what's your passion.
Well, I've been doing this work for about 17 years as an executive coach. I've worked with over 1,000 people at Google, Amazon, Starbucks, Bank of America, Microsoft, Ritz-Carlton. What's fascinating is I get to see kind of what the best of the best are doing on the front line inside organizations, and I get to see the patterns of the issues they deal with, the challenges they have, and so I love that work. It's extremely stimulating. I also speak around the country and talk to organizations about workplace issues, and also written 7 books, and I'm one of the top 50 executive coaches in America. I love what I do. I love the coaching. I love the speaking. It's exciting to help people understand how to get more out of their workplace and gain more fulfillment and maximize more of their potential and have that competitive advantage they need today.
What an awesome background. Looking forward to getting into it. Before we get started, I always like to ask some would you rather questions.
Okay.
So let me just ask you, I only got 3 for you. They're not too hard. Let me just start with the first one, and that is, would you rather sing in the shower or on stage?
I would rather sing in the shower, but dance on stage.
Very good. Very good answer. Do you have a personal preference as far as the song? I mean, what song can you really get in there and belt out when you're in the shower?
Well, it depends. If my kids are hanging around me, I have to do the ABCs because I got 2 young kids. but let's see what I'd like to belt out. Maybe Piano Man by Billy Joel.
Very good. Very good. How about, let's talk about vacation. Would you rather vacation in San Diego or in Hawaii?
Oh, hands down Hawaii, because every summer for the last 7 years, I have spent my summers in Hawaii working virtually with a lot of my clients doing executive coaching work.
Wow.
Hands down Hawaii.
Great. I guess that's the privilege of having the job that you have, huh?
It is. It is. I love it. It's. I'm very, very blessed, and it's exciting to be able to have opportunities like that.
The third would you rather question is, would you rather be the executive coach for Warren Buffett or Governor Chris Christie?
Well, Chris Christie would be very exciting and on the edge, I feel. But Warren Buffett seems like kind of a sweet grandpa where I'd learn a lot. I feel I learn a lot more by Buffett, and I feel I'd be just hanging out with a guy who's a brilliant, genius, visionary. And Christie would keep me on my toes, and I'd probably be in a little bit of fear, and he would keep me probably pretty on edge.
Yeah. So you'd certainly earn your money with him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you wonder, now that I pose the question to you, you wonder how much executive coaching could you give Warren Buffett? He's already been there, done it, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the thing is, he's been there, done it. Then the question is, well, what does he want from his life? So then to me, with him, it's more looking at where he is in this stage of his life. What's next for him? What does he want? Maybe it's simplification. Maybe it's cutting back. Maybe it's spending more time with family. Maybe it's changing, having a more altruistic look at his life and what he wants to be, you know, his legacy. So it's interesting. Each individual I coach, I always try to customize and look at the needs and let that be driven by the client. So I think Buffett is definitely always working on interesting things. And so, you know, next thing for him, what would that be?
Sure. You have certainly built a successful career around executive coaching. And I wonder, could you just explain to us exactly what is executive coaching or executive presence, if there's a difference between the two?
Well, they are.
Is there a difference between the executive coaching, or are you specifically coaching for the presence?
In my executive coaching practice, I have 4 different areas of focus. So executive coaching is when I'm working one-on-one with an individual inside a company, helping them with executive presence, meaning I'm helping them gain confidence and command respect within the organization. But then I also help the newly promoted navigate the transition at that next level. And then I also work with influential leaders and how they can kind of make game-changing results. And then I also help with career advancement, so maximizing your potential to get ahead. So, I mean, that's the executive coaching area specialties in the workplace that I deal with. Now, executive presence in its own self is its own entity that a lot of companies want their individuals who are rising up the rank as leaders to start to have more and more executive presence.
Well, so executive presence, if you boil it down, is that just the way they carry themselves, or is it deeper than that?
It is deeper than that to some degree, because carrying themselves is important. But I see it as, you know, creating a consistent view of yourself as a kind of a compelling force inside the organization. You're known as someone who doesn't just rely on your authority or title, but you really look for ways of building relationships and influencing outcomes and situations. You know, the way I look at it also is it's about confidence. You know, it's a executive presence is a person's ability to win the confidence of those around them. So
yeah.
I find that when someone, you know, you say someone has an executive presence, oftentimes it's a professional magnetism that influences others. People are admired and respected when they have an executive presence. And that is something that people sometimes automatically have, but you also can be something that you learn.
Yeah, I would agree. What would you say, based on your work and experience in teaching the information as far as how to be have an executive presence, what are the maybe five or six key characteristics of executive presence?
I'd say it's business intelligence, and that's really being able to not just be on the dance floor, but be in the balcony looking down at the dance floor. So you think strategically, you have a whole company perspective. That's one, so business intelligence. Second one would be risk-taking. Always looking for ways to move beyond your comfort zone, exceed your expectations and others, dealing with ambiguity and change. And so you're willing to take risks, put yourself out there, take initiative. That's the second one. The third one would be interpersonal relationships. And this is really about, you know, you're able to, you don't just manage people, you lead them. You communicate clearly. People know that you know what you're talking about when you're communicating. And you're able to build interpersonal relationships in a way that people feel lifted up when they're around you. The fourth one would be performance improvement. And this is at a baseline is that you know how to think. Performance improvement is really about, you know, refining your thinking skills, being able to prioritize your projects, know what's most important, get the biggest, most important things done. And you can be discerning. You know how to have discernment between what is needed in the moment at different circumstances. And then the last one is self-development. And this is really about, you know, a lot of times when I look at a client I'm working with who's developing executive presence, they know themselves and they know how to gain confidence and they know how to seek feedback and take that feedback and apply it. And so they're willing to develop themselves and grow themselves and look at themselves, and they're constantly trying to improve who they are and how they're showing up.
Yeah. Good characteristics. I would certainly say that those are very much needed, regardless of the position that you have in an organization. But if you took business intelligence, risk-taking, interpersonal skills, or relationships, performance improvement, and self-development, out of those five, which one is the most critical?
That's a good question. I would say it's probably between interpersonal relationships and self-development, because too often I see things fail because of relationships with your boss or boss's boss, or you have really good relationships within your group, but cross-functionally you lack relationships and you're not building alliances and creating collaboration and buy-in for your ideas. So the interpersonal relationship becomes more and more important the more you rise up in the organization. Now, self-development, if you think you know it all and you don't want to know yourself more and you're not willing to seek feedback and you're not willing to expand your skills sets and be open to knowing who you are and what you're capable of as you get to the next levels, you'll be limited. At some point in your career, you're going to recognize that you don't know enough and also that you're not willing and open to hear what other people have to say. And so that's I would say those two, even though you asked for one.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm glad you expanded on them.
Yeah.
And I had another question based around those characteristics. Obviously, if a leader is using those five, they're probably building trust within an organization.
Yes, they would be most likely building trust. I think that, that then comes down to, because you could be having great performance improvement, have business intelligence, be risk-taking, and lack trust. So I think that there is an element that because you could have such a huge confidence and a big ego that you actually undermine trust in some areas. And so it's important to recognize, I do think that, you know, trust goes probably more in the interpersonal relationship and the self-development. Be willing to be open to how other people are seeing you and how well do you establish the trust you have in the relationships you're, because you could have great trust with your board and senior leadership, but what kind of trust do you have with people underneath you? It could be a whole,
sure.
And especially if you're all about the results and the bottom line and you'll do anything you can to get to those results and you'll use people as commodities and you'll be taking them as just pieces in the kind of game plan of what you're trying to create and you don't really care who they are, and so you undermine their trust, but guess what? You're great at getting those results. And at what point down the road does that deterioration of the trust undermine what, you know, the relationship you built?
Yeah, I would agree. So would you say that maybe it was just sticking with trust, having the trust of the people above you is more important, or the people that work beside you and below you is more important?
I would say this. On the surface, it's people above you, and that's more of a short-term entity because ultimately they can make a break with resources, support, promotions, opportunities. So you have to have that trust. That's huge. And that's going to make a big difference in your career early on. But then ultimately, long-term sustainability, I would say, I mean, both are vitally important. So we're kind of like, I'm deciphering it a bit. But over the long term, your peers and the people below you are the ones who are going to make you successful. And ultimately, it's the people above you, they matter, but not as much as the people who are your peers and subordinates in the long term. So
yeah,
those you've
got to
constantly be building and developing and improving upon.
Well said.
Make sure you have trust with.
You know, you have a pretty extensive list of clients, some big name clients. I guess that's probably why you're named one of the top 50 executive coach in the United States, huh?
Possibly.
I wanted to, if you could just maybe think of, get you thinking here, could you just think of one of your clients that you linked up with, who linked up with you for some training, you know, maybe your worst client. What was their baseline when you started with them, and how far were you able to take them?
Well, there was a client I had who, it was interesting. She had a perception of herself and how others saw her, that she was someone who was smart, dedicated, well-organized, could see the big picture, number one salesperson in the company, and basically thought she could really execute well and did a good job. And this is what the perception she thought others saw her as. But as we worked together, I finally said to her about a couple months into the coaching relationship, I said, well, let's check this out, because how do we really know how you're being seen? And so she was a mid-level executive, and we ended up doing 360-degree interviews in which I interviewed people below her, people at the peer level, and people above her. We actually did about 9 different interviews. And this is where the work really began, because some of the feedback that came back, and it was very extensive, was somewhat accurate to what she saw herself. But there was a very dominant theme from everyone above, below, and at the peer level that pretty much said that she was a bully, blunt, hard-ass, forceful, intimidating. So this is where our work really began, because she realized that her ability to be a kind of a high-impact leader and a leader who could have more executive presence was being stifled due to the negative perception others had of her. And oftentimes, this can have a huge impact. So we started to really work on this, and as we worked together, she started to see the impact she was having on others. She started to understand what the cause and effect was that she was having on others, and the results in her talents and skills, you know, she recognized that wasn't important up to this point in her career. It was important at this point in her career. But then she realized it wasn't enough. She realized, you know, what got her here was not going to get her to the next level. And so what we worked on was understanding how she was being perceived, which by doing the 360-degree interviews. And then over the next 12 months, we worked on this. And she ended up getting promoted, doubled the size of her group, and gained respect by her peers and senior leaders.
Wow. Just by you having the ability to help her look herself in the mirror.
Well, it's looking herself in the mirror. I mean, when she first got this feedback, it was a shock to her, and it took her 2 to 3 weeks to even unpack the emotional impact because she had no clue. So a lot of this was her waking up and realizing how she saw herself and how others saw her were completely off base. So it was a huge wake-up call. Now, after a couple of weeks of processing it, she was like, you know what? I want to go after this. I realize the rest of my career is going to be impacted with this type of feedback, and either I change it now or it's going to constantly undermine my career. And that's what we worked on. We worked on building the relationships. We worked on her seeing the impact and the wake she left when she was interacting with people and how to minimize those wakes so she started to improve her relationships and not see people just as a commodity in order for her to get the results she needed.
Sure. Great. Great story. Yeah. It's got to be pretty rewarding to take somebody who has a minimal baseline and really see them succeed the way she did.
Oh, it was huge. What's exciting for me is I get to see not just the impact in her career, and you know, for the rest of her career, she gets to apply the things we learned together, which is what's so valuable for a lot of the coaching work I do. But it's also the impact she had on others, and not just the people who worked for her, but also the impact even on the bottom line. I mean, that's one way that you can always have an ROI, return on investment, with executive coaching. Often, is you really can look at the measurement results of. When she started to become a valuable commodity in the company and started to grow the company in many ways. Instead, before this, she was just the number one salesperson in the company, and people were keeping her because of that, but they were pretty concerned about the impact she was having on the morale and her interactions with other senior leaders in the company. It was being undermined in many ways.
Wow. If you had to synthesize, really, I think you brought this up in the beginning of our conversation, what the best of the best executives do as far as presence. What would you say some of those traits are?
I would say, you know, one thing they do really well is they really kind of transform their own self-doubt and uncertainty into self-assurance. And they have confidence, they know who they are, they know what they need to do, and they go and do it. They sit at the table and they don't waver with their thoughts and their ideas and their concepts. They're very clear and defined with what they want to do and how they want to do it. And if they doubt themselves at all, they either own it in front of others and show some vulnerability, or they sit there and behind the scenes figure out what they need to do, and when they show up, they know exactly what needs to be done and they go and do it. So people rely on their strength and their power and their certainty, and it goes a long way for them to be more of a compelling force inside the organization.
Wow, good. This is certainly turning out to be one of the most content-driven podcasts we have, I believe.
Oh, great.
Specifically as it relates to leadership or executive presence, I was thinking, with all your training and accomplishments that you have with the people that you have worked for and with, I'm wondering if you had the opportunity to go 20 years back, what kind of advice would you give yourself as a new leader or starting out in your journey?
I would say what's most important is recognize how important perception is in your career and your success that you create. And I would think that it's very vital that you recognize that you're constantly being observed and documented inside the minds of others. And so what they see and notice matters. So are you aware of how your peers, subordinates, bosses, vendors, clients are observing you? And what they see and notice matters. So do you know the image you project? Do you know the attitude that's come across? I mean, all of this is extremely important. So once you understand how you're being perceived, your objective is to make sure you're being perceived as positive inside the organization, and you got to constantly work in that every single day in your career. And then once you've done that, it's also important to make sure you increase your visibility. A lot of my clients knew that early on in their career, that being visible and standing out and getting noticed and making sure people know who you are and what you're doing and the impact and value you're bringing to the organization, it has to be known, because too often inside organizations, people are shy or hesitant to speak up and let their work stand out for themselves. And instead, they just work hard. And what happens is that's not enough anymore. Companies have too many underutilized employees where they're not letting the employees and taking the underutilized employees and getting more maximum out of their talent. And so companies need employees who know how to increase their visibility and stand out and get noticed. And employees need that for themselves, because their career is going to start to suffer if people don't know how to leverage and utilize their talent.
Finish this question for me, if you would. As a leader, in order to become relevant,
people need to know who you are, what you do, and your value.
If they
know those three things, you will gain success in your career. You'll guarantee the success that you have in your career.
Great. Tell me, who's doing something right now that's interesting to you?
Nothing jumps out right now. I will only say that one thing that I'm aware of over the last few months for myself that's interesting is my own idea of just the concept of simplicity and trying to do less. More in the sense of try not to make things more complex than they need to be. I live in a work environment, and I see it with my clients of being overwhelmed, too much to do and not enough time to do it. And so it's like, where can I simplify? Where can I delegate? Where can I work on really the things that are most vital and most important? I mean, I say, because I can't think of a person, but that is something I'm like reading about and learning about and observing inside myself and trying to understand how to manage it all and still be extremely productive, but also simplify what's being done in a way that supports my overall vision of what I need to be doing and want to be doing.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes more sense. You're able to get more done when you focus on your strengths, right?
Exactly. That's true.
Tell us, what is the easiest way for people to connect with you?
I have a website that has over 200 pages of free content. I like to give away lots of content to my clients and to people out there. It's Garfinkel, and that's Garfinkle, executivecoaching.com. And like I say, a couple hundred pages of free articles on whether it's productivity, whether it's getting more out of your team and building relationships, advancing your career, keeping your employees happy, managing human capital, creating work-life balance, you name it. Tons of information on the website. And also, I have a newsletter called Fulfillment at Work. It goes out to over 10,000 people and has articles, in-depth profiles on leaders and how to get ahead in the workplace. And if you sign up for that, you get a free ebook, 41 Proven Strategies to Get Promoted Now. And so those are a couple things. I'd say the newsletter, the website. If you're interested in hiring me for training or executive coaching, you can go to the website and email me about that. yeah, I look forward to hearing from anyone, and I just want to provide resources that would be valuable to you, and I think those two resources would help a lot of people out there.
Well, I'm certainly, anybody who's listening to this can certainly hear the passion that you have for executive coaching. So we certainly appreciate your time that you spent with us today.
Thank you, JJ.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to look us up online at bplpodcast.com. Become part of the Mentor of Mentors Leadership Club by rating us in iTunes. Your support helps us invest in leaders just like you. Give us a 5-star rating and we'll mention your name on our next podcast. See you next time.
Recognize how important perception is in your career and your success that you create. And I would think that it's very vital that you recognize that you're constantly being observed and documented inside the minds of others. And so what they see and notice matters. So are you aware of how your peers, subordinates, bosses, vendors, clients are observing you? And what they see and notice matters. So do you know the image you project? Do you know the attitude that's come across? All of this is extremely important. So once you understand how you're being perceived, your objective is to make sure you're being perceived as positive inside the organization, and you got to constantly work in that every single day in your career.